Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley, your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. Dr. Charlie Glickman is a sex and relationship coach. He's a sex educator and a sexological body worker. He returns to this program. So glad to have you back, Dr. Charlie. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So for this program, we're going to discuss some additional topics, which I think are exciting. You are about to do in Oakland, California, on the 19th of February, a whole weekend of workshops, but you're going to start with a puja ceremony, and I think that this is absolutely fascinating. It's a ceremony, the puja ceremony. It's a progression of experiences that blend Tantra and BDSM. I mean, this sounds like a very creative, very original coupling of topics. Please explain, Dr. Charlie.
Well, I'd be happy to. Although, just to be clear, pujas are used for all kinds of Tantra classes and experiences, not just this particular one.
All right. Thank you for clarifying.
Sure,
yes.
Sure thing. Sure. So the format, it happens in a few different ways, but the idea is that there is a series of experiences, and you do each experience with one person, with one partner, and then you move on to the next person, and then the next person, so that you get to explore each exercise with a range of different people. So for example, a puja might start with eye gazing without physical touch, and then you might progress to a hand on the other person's heart. So that way there's sort of a sequence.
Yes.
The one that we're doing, the Black Sapphire Puja, we're taking some of the techniques and approaches from BDSM and some of the techniques and approaches from Tantra, and then blending them together so that we can explore what that's like. And it's a really fun experience to put the two together, because both SM and Tantra have some amazing tools for helping people drop into deeper experiences. So you put them together and you get even more. It's going to be a great time.
It's going to be, yeah. And so people can go to your website, makesexeasy.com, and get a little more information. And then once people have registered for this, is when you reveal where it's going to be. And
Yes. It's happening at a private home. And so rather than putting the address out on the internet, you have to, once you purchase a ticket, you find out where it is, just for the privacy of the person who's hosting us.
That makes sense. And it keeps it more private, and everybody involved can relax better.
Exactly. And just to clarify, our workshop, our puja, is fully clothed. So while there are lots of different exercises people will be practicing with each other, it is a fully clothed experience. And of course, everyone is completely free to participate to the level that they're comfortable with. You know, we invite people to explore their edges, but that means not requiring anybody to do more than they want to actually do. So there's always a balance to be found there.
Always a balance. When I think of kinky is sort of the overall term for BDSM. I mean, it's right. It's considered kinky, and kinky to some people, a feather is kinky, and to others, only the whole chicken is.
So. Exactly. That's the old joke, isn't it? It's always a range of things for different people. And
right.
It's one of my favorite things about these kinds of workshops is helping people explore, what's the growing edge for you? Because it'll be different for me, be different for somebody else. And I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think it's all about individual exploration and really having more fun with sex, even though this will be a prelude to sex for some people, that your workshop this Friday night. I know you go on to do other things, but So when I think that a lot of people can really spark up their relationship when they have some of this kink to get the fires burning again. It just to do different things. I mean, then the brain produces more dopamine. So a little bit kinky and a whole lot of fun. It seems to go together.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think I think you're right. A lot of people take sex very, very seriously, and mm-hmm. they forget that there's a fun aspect to it, that there's a play aspect. And I really love helping people reconnect with that sense of play. It makes all the difference in people's relationships and in their sex lives.
It really does, and I do that in my practice a lot, too, that people, in order to spice up their sex life, they need to find ways to push the limits of their inhibitions.
Exactly.
And maybe to sample and savor new sexual delights. And in the process, they often learn how to communicate better.
That's the hope, and it makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the BDSM is getting a little more respect. 2015, the International Society for Sexual Medicine, I don't know if you saw this paper. The title of the paper was Sexual Satisfaction and Distress in Sexual Functioning in a Sample of BDSM Community, a Comparison Study Between BDSM and Non-BDSM Contexts. And so I'm just going to read to you a couple of the highlights of the study.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I'll have to look it up.
Yes. So it's, let's see, I don't know the date exactly. Let me just say, so the participants had an average age of 33, and they were highly educated, and they waited 6 years after becoming interested in BDSM to act on their interests. And for the men, with the exception of premature ejaculation and anorgasmia, there was a statistically significant lower in the BDSM context, that they didn't have as much difficulty. And there seemed to be no differences in sexual satisfaction, however, between BDSM and non-BDSM for both men and women. So haven't you found that with BDSM practitioners, that the communication is so good that it actually, and the rules and all of that it also often makes for better sex?
I do agree with one caveat. I think that people who take the time to learn the tools to how to talk about their kinky desires, their fantasies, those skills definitely improve sexual communication just generally in someone's life. And when people are introduced to kink through the SM community, where there's role models and there's workshops and there's people who can coach you through it, it makes a big, big difference. I do find, though, that one of the challenges, I think in many ways it's great that people are exploring BDSM. They've been inspired by movies like Secretary, they've been inspired by 50 Shades of Grey. We could talk about the literary value of 50 Shades, but its impact on people's exploration is certainly big. But when people are checking things out without having learned how to do them safely, emotionally mm-hmm. or physically safely, I do find that sometimes that turns into a train wreck. And so one of my big pieces of advice is don't copy something just because you saw it on the internet. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you might not know. It's worth buying a book. It's worth taking a workshop or attending a class somewhere, because you might be surprised at how many small little things make a big difference in terms of a successful experience. So I agree with
advice,
you. As long as people are learning how to do it right, those skills transfer all over. It's great.
Yes, and aside from possibly being more fun for people, it can be more exciting. I mean, that goes as part of the fun, but and don't you think? Go ahead.
I do think so, and some of that is that, you know, you're trying something new, you've got the novelty factor, but some of it is it also gives you an opportunity to explore some of your fantasies, some of your desires that you may not have ever really delved into before. And once you start doing that in one aspect of your sex life, it opens up the possibility for doing it in other places too. It just sort of spreads out from there.
So can you think of an example of some participant's fantasy that got explored and then it increased the pleasure in the relationship?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was recently working with one of my coaching clients,
mm-hmm.
and she had always had a fantasy of exhibitionism, being taken somewhere, you know, dressed really sexy and being mm-hmm. shown off by her husband. And for them, there were definitely aspects of kink there, because her fantasy was that he's there to protect her. He's there to show her off. And so when they went out and did that, they were able to not only have a great experience that night, but she was also able to articulate her desires to him, that it made her feel sexy to know that he was there protecting her, and she could sort of, you know, be a little bit of a show-off and still mm-hmm. feel like she was protected. And they started looking for ways to play with that in other aspects of their sex life. And it evolved into very much a dominant, submissive dynamic when that was the game that they were playing. And, you know, she ended up discovering that she really liked buying sexy lingerie, and she really liked getting dressed up for him, even if there wasn't anybody else involved. And so, yeah, it just spread out into the rest of their lives together. It was beautiful.
Nice example. And I think that's an interesting way to kind of get to it. Couples that I see many times, the man will say, "Oh, I'd love it if you dress up and do a little sexy dance for me." And a lot of women, because of body image issues or shyness or whatever, have some trouble with that. And so I think writing down a fantasy about it and then talking about it, as you do with your coaching clients, and then developing it. And so it sounds like that worked out really well with that one couple.
It did. And part of how they got there, something that we did in some of our coaching sessions, is a lot of the time when people are talking about their fantasies, they focus on the action. That's a great place to start. But mm-hmm. I think there's a deeper question to explore, which is, how do you want to feel while you're doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Because to use the example of that couple, she wanted to feel like she was protected and safe and shown off.
Right.
And so they could play with that. Somebody could dress up in the exact same clothing, the exact same makeup, go to the exact same bar, but what she wants to do is feel like she can just get totally wild and crazy and, show off in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to making your fantasies something to play with, it's important to talk about how you want to feel. What's the experience that you want, not just the physical action that you are curious about trying?
Yeah, that's a nice distinction. So what experience does the person want? And it certainly varies a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, it's huge. And there's no way of knowing, just from the physical actions, the behaviors, how somebody feels about that. It's a really important question. How do you want to feel when you are doing this thing?
Yeah. Yeah. But have you, in your coaching work, in this regard, have you seen some transformations in people? I mean, obviously, this one couple, there was that, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes the big shift is because of the fantasy, and you know, they get to explore and describe their fantasies. But sometimes the really big shift happens because they are talking about their fantasies, and that opens up a huge range of possibility and communication, and that's where I think the deeper shifts happen. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're able to tell your partner, whatever it is, I want you to tie me up and spank me. I want to explore anal play. You know, I'm interested in having sex with the lights on. If that's somebody's edge, the mm-hmm. action is less important than the ability to talk about it with each other. And once you open that door, everything shifts.
Yes, yes, that makes perfect sense. I should tell our listeners that we are also going to be discussing in some detail prostate pleasure. And when you said about anal pleasuring...
It reminded you.
Reminded me. So we're going to talk about that. Dr. Charlie has a book, The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure, and people can get that through Amazon, through your website. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
and then we'll get to the more in detail as we go.
Great. Yeah, so The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure, it's available on Amazon, it's on Kindle, it's on mm-hmm. Audible. And the book really covers everything you need to know from A to Z about the male G-spot, the prostate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that just as, there's the G-spot in women in the front wall of the vagina, the prostate gland is very much the same thing. And so guys have just as many opportunities to have those kinds of multi-orgasmic, full-body orgasm experiences that maybe they've been on the giving side of. And so it's really exciting that more men and their partners have been exploring and discovering prostate play. I hear from guys all the time how much it has changed their sex lives. So, yeah, it's one of my favorite things to help people discover.
Well, we can talk about that and then circle back and talk about the puja ceremony and kinky sex, F&M. Tantra, though, we're going to also weave in Tantra because that's the blending. Well, let's wait to talk more about prostate pleasure and talk about some of the Tantra techniques that you'll be blending in. And you work with a woman, you collaborate with a woman named Catherine.
Caroline.
I'm sorry. Of course.
No problem.
Caroline.
Yeah, Caroline Carrington
mm-hmm.
is her name. She is a Tantra educator in Oakland, California. You know, mm-hmm. we've been friends since I lived in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And Tantra is it's a range of exercises and practices that can help people tune into your desire, your arousal. It can expand orgasm. Some people are able to have multiple orgasms through these practices, and in fact, some men are able to have multiple non-ejaculatory orgasms. So rather than being one and done, they can keep going and going and going.
Isn't that exciting? That's particularly nice for a woman who can have orgasms through intercourse.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, and the thing about Tantra is that it's fundamentally a set of skills that help you be more present in your body and more connected with your partner and with the experience you're creating. And so it really can help people expand their sex lives in these really dramatic ways. I mean, I have seen how much it can change and improve people's level of intimacy and connection with each other. There's a lot of potential there. And it's wonderful to partner with someone who specializes in this work. You know, I'm familiar with it, but I'm not a specialist in it. So she brings more of the Eastern New Age, for lack of a better word, woo approach, and I bring some more of the empirical science, and we translate for each other. So it's a good partnership for teaching.
Yes. In terms of Tantra, there's for the man to come, C-U-M, or not to come, and how often should a man ejaculate? As I understand it, it's a hotly debated point in Western science and in sacred sexuality tradition. So,
yeah, it
seems
it's
to be viewed as it can be viewed as ejaculation reducing vital life energy, and therefore should be minimized and done less frequently as men age. To the opposite, that frequent admissions reduce rates of prostate cancer. So where are you on this?
Well, so it's interesting because a lot of different cultures have had the idea that for a man to ejaculate means that he is losing his life force, his prana, his vital energy, his chi. You know, it's different languages depending on the culture. Mm-hmm. In Europe, they decided that that meant that you should only ejaculate if you were trying to make a baby, because then you're supposed to save your energy. In Asia, particularly in China and in India, where some of these practices came from, they said, well, let's figure out how to have non-ejaculatory sexual pleasure and orgasms so that it's not an issue. You know, I think opinions vary quite a bit because there's never been any research on the topic.
Right, right.
You know, we do know that ejaculation reduces the rate of prostate health issues later in life.
Yes.
So ejaculating more as a younger man saves you reduces your risk for prostate health problems when you get older.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, I definitely know guys who have said that after they ejaculate, they feel more tired, especially men in their 50s or older. And I know other guys who say that it's never been a problem for them. So for me, I think it comes down to listening to your own body and then deciding what to do from there. If it makes you feel more tired, consider that. If it makes you feel more energized, you know, go for it.
Yeah, I think a man, of course, I don't own the equipment, so I'm only guessing, but I think a man has to develop his own sort of personal erotic energy skill set. And and that way he can perhaps more easily get and sustain erections, and then also exercise ejaculatory choice.
Yes.
And in the process, discover the pleasures of non-ejaculatory energy orgasms. I think it's very exciting to have a lover who can have the dry orgasms and last a long time and give his female partner a lot of pleasure in the meantime.
Yeah, it's a fun experience, and it also doesn't lock you into that experience. So you know, it's not like that's the only choice you have for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's all about just giving you another possibilities, more options.
Yeah. So circle back and tell us before we, and in the second half of the show, we'll focus more on prostate pleasure and how that might happen, some of the techniques for that. But so what else will Caroline bring to the puja ceremony where you're going to blend the Tantra and the BDSM?
Well, let's see. You know, we have different teaching styles, and her teaching style tends to be much more focused on the energy of the room and creating a more experiential process. And so that's one of her big strengths in our collaboration. Plus, we both have different skill sets in terms of, you know, what we notice. You know, we'll check in afterwards and we'll talk about what we observed, and we'll each have different observations about you know, this person seemed really excited, that person seemed really shy. And so when we work together, you know, we've developed a really good system at supporting each other and making sure that we sort of, you know, cover each other's blind spots, for lack of a better term for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she just brings this wonderful, warm, loving energy that it's really beautiful. So, yeah, I love working with her.
How did you find, you used to live in the Bay Area, and now you're here where I am in Seattle, but did you know Caroline from when you were in the Bay Area?
Yeah, we met through some mutual friends. Actually, mm-hmm. I take it back. We met at Dark Odyssey, which is a BDSM conference mm-hmm. that happens every year in San Francisco, and then we have a lot of mutual friends, so we were, you know, in each other's orbit for a while, and then we went from there.
Good. And say the name of the BDSM conference in San Francisco. What is that?
It's called Dark Odyssey. If you go to darkodyssey.com, I think is their website, and then the San Francisco convention is Surrender. They do events at different locations around the country.
Mm. When's the next one of those coming up?
I know the next San Francisco one is, it's in November. I don't know what their other stuff is. They do something in the summer on the East Coast. I just don't remember where it is, because I haven't been to any of their events mm-hmm. outside of San Francisco.
Okay. So I know some about Tantra. I'm not a teacher of it, but I think so many of the Tantra techniques can really help people get become more comfortable with their sexuality and enjoy it more. And one is quieting the mind, quieting that logical left hemisphere of the brain while activating the feeling intuitive right hemisphere. And that's where the more mystical experience happens, wouldn't you say, the right hemisphere?
Absolutely, and that's mm-hmm. and you're totally correct that one of the things that you can learn from these practices is how to turn your brain or how to shift your mm-hmm. thinking brain off and turn and shift into your feeling brain, and I think that mm-hmm. makes all the difference.
Yes, yes, and also it seems to activate one's capacity to love. And love can be such a mystical experience if it's really good.
It really can be. And to love with less attachment so that you can connect to somebody from a very loving place without necessarily feeling like you have to own or control or manage them. So, yeah, it's a great set of practices. I really do think that it's worth exploring whatever your level of experience is. There's a lot that it can teach you.
So the idea, let there, and I think this was in the Prophet, let there be spaces in your togetherness. I really
yes.
like that. Doesn't that apply to what you just talked about?
I think it really
owning
does.
Yeah. It becomes healthier. It's a healthier relationship. I sometimes say to my couples, you know, consider the difference between want and need. And if you're, ideally, you should be able to look at your loved one and say, I want you even more than I need you. I can live without you, but I can live lots better with you. I can live without
yes.
you, but I can live better with you. So,
yes.
It isn't so clingy or sticky or needy or all of that. So, right?
I agree. There's
yes.
a way in which that's a game changer for people.
Yes, yes. So as far as quieting the mind in the Tantra tradition, do you, in your workshop, do you have the people alternate breathing?
We do, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There are some breath work practices that they have physiological effects.
Mm-hmm.
some of it is just the longer, slower breathing helps keep you feeling more relaxed, which gives you more room for your body to contain pleasure. One of the big causes for things like premature ejaculation or erection difficulties is anxiety and stress. And so learning how to relax your nervous system makes a big, big difference in terms of alleviating some of those things.
Yeah, could you break that down a little bit more? And so say you're working with, because guys are often suffering from premature ejaculation and sometimes combined with or separate, but anyway, erectile dysfunction. So say you're working with, well, let's start with PE. So you're working with a guy. What would be some of the techniques that you might use with him?
Well, I think one of the really big ones that I end up using with quite a few of my clients who have premature ejaculation is helping. Well, two things actually. One is helping them have a realistic definition of what that means. A lot of guys are convinced that they need to last for hours and hours, and sometimes their partners don't want that. So, first off, getting people on the same page. But secondly, a lot of guys really aren't tuned into their bodies, aren't tuned into their pleasure. Their arousal is very externally focused. They're focused on performance. They're focused on, the get it up, get it in, get it off model to sex. And so helping them see that that's actually contributing to it because it's creating a lot of anxiety. And
right.
The anxiety makes sex much less pleasurable and actually contributes to ejaculating more quickly. And then there's things like breathwork practices. There's actually a blog post on my coaching page, Make Sex Easy. If you search for it, it's called Calming Breathwork, and it's a breathwork practice that actually slows the nervous system down and gives you more room to experience pleasure. And the short version of it is that you slow your exhalation down. So maybe you do inhale on a 2-count, exhale on a 4-count, and then over time you might extend that to a 3-6, 3-7, whatever it might be. But that makes a big difference. You may be skeptical about it, but I've seen the impact that it makes.
Yes. And, So, and then you have very happy, happy men who can last longer.
Exactly.
I'm seeing one couple now where, and they're fairly young, and, he's had such difficulty with premature ejaculation, and she is very dissatisfied and very angry. She's become angry. Of course, they have other problems. But then her anger produces more anxiety for him and more performance, and it's just, it becomes a really difficult, I should have turned off my phone. I'm getting some call interrupts, but I will ignore it.
But I do agree because once you start having that kind of pressure put on the situation, that just makes it worse.
Yeah.
And once you start blaming someone or shaming them for it, it's just going to get more and more so.
Right. And it's very hard for some of these guys to get out of their heads and into their bodies and do the breathing.
Yeah.
And in this area we have really some highly intelligent men. I mean, not that Seattle has a corner on that, but, we've got Microsoft, we've got Amazon, we've got Boeing, and a lot of these guys are, they're just brilliant at writing code and doing software programming, but they're so often in their heads.
Yeah, and that gets in the way.
It gets in the way. And Tantra, let's talk a little bit more about that. I think it is mind expanding as well as orgasm expanding. And and let's talk, Charlie, about a little bit about the sacred spot massage. In women, this is generally somewhere around where the G-spot is located. And in men, it's activated through the perineum and also via the anus. So maybe this will be a segue into the anal prostate discussion we wanted to have.
Great. Yeah, well, and I think there are definitely ways that you can access prostate stimulation through the perineum,
mm-hmm.
but it's a less direct way to do it. If you actually do direct massage through mm-hmm. Anal penetration, you get a lot more stimulation out of that. So the way mm-hmm. that I always describe it is massaging the prostate through the pelvic floor is like giving someone a back rub when they're wearing a sweatshirt. It works, but they don't get as much sensation.
Oh, that's a good analogy, yeah.
Yeah, so anal penetration definitely works a lot better for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when the sacred spot is massaged, either mm-hmm. for the woman or for the man, doesn't it often result in tremendous release of energy?
It definitely can, mm-hmm. although some of the people who I've spoken with have said that, the first time they tried it, it didn't do so much for them. It can sometimes take a few experiences for your brain to be able to tune into the sensation.
That's
it takes a little bit of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and so that's why, my recommendation whenever you're trying anything new, whether mm-hmm. it's prostate massage or G-spot or bondage or anything else, start off with something that you already know that you enjoy and make it a side dish. Make the new thing a side dish because it starts to train your nervous system to recognize the new sensation as pleasurable.
Because you're actually laying down some new neural pathways, right?
Exactly, yeah. And mm-hmm. sometimes we get to a place where the new activity is something that we enjoy on its own. But other times it really is always just a side dish, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who can orgasm just through anal penetration, and then there's people who need anal penetration along with clitoral or penis stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who enjoy spanking just on its own, and there's people who spanking feels great as foreplay, but then they need to add something else. So it's not that one person is good, the other is bad. It's just different tastes.
Different tastes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about prostate play with a toy? As I understand it, a man can use a toy, a toy that's designed for this, and he can do it alone and kind of learn when he's by himself which of the pelvic floor muscles squeezes his prostate. And
yeah, it makes a big difference. It
uh-huh.
is very difficult to reach your own prostate with a fingertip. It depends on how flexible you are, how
mm-hmm.
long your arms are. But for most guys, they'll find they either need a partner or a toy to be able to reach. And for some people, they might choose a dildo, which works great. I'm a big fan of the Aneros products. It's A-N-E-R-O-S.
A-N-E-R-O-S?
Yes.
Okay, Aneros products, okay.
They're designed to be hands-free prostate massagers. They're controlled by your PC muscle. So as you squeeze and relax your PC muscle,
mm-hmm.
you're getting a prostate massage. And I got to say, the guys at Aneros, they geek out about the prostate even more than I do. So I highly recommend their stuff if it's something that you're interested in. They do great stuff.
And do you know their website? I'll put it in my summary of today's program.
Yeah, it's actually just aneros.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
A-N-E-R-O-S.com. Okay.
Correct.
Well, I see that. That would be great exercise for the man's prostate. And as I understand, this is, a man needs to learn how to hold back his ejaculate while releasing orgasmic energy from male multiple orgasms.
And that can be a great way to do that.
Right. Yeah. So, because he's practicing and he's learning new ways to bring pleasure to himself and pleasure to his partner. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
There's so much pleasure to be had. So, let's go back. We're circling around, but it's all kind of tied in, and this is what you're going to be doing anyway in your workshop on the 19th in Oakland. Oh, well, I was going to talk about stillness in tantric, but let's talk about what you're going to do the next day. It has to do with erotic massage. So on the 20th of February, right?
Yes. Yeah, Caroline and I are doing a workshop on erotic massage, cock massage. And the way that we do this workshop, it's a day-long class. In the morning, we talk about anatomy, show some techniques, and then we have a live demonstration where she demonstrates on me some of the techniques, because it's so much easier to see it when you're actually getting to observe it. And then in the afternoon, the participants get to practice. And you can sign up for the workshop as a couple and then practice with each other. You can also sign up as an individual, as either a giver or a receiver, and then basically we partner people up for the hands-on portion of the workshop. During the hands-on portion, we're guiding people, you know, giving them instructions to the room, making sure that people are actually doing the different techniques correctly, and helping them figure out basically building muscle memory so that they can figure out how to do the different erotic massage practices. You know, we have lots and lots of different techniques to offer. You know, if you think that you know how to give somebody a hand job, you might be surprised at how many more options there are. And I love teaching workshops where people can actually try things out, because it's not always intuitively obvious, and it's really great when you can raise your hand, ask a question, you know, make sure that you understand what's going on.
And I think you have to have it be experiential in order to develop the muscle memory.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the difference between reading a cookbook versus taking a cooking class.
Yes, that's right. And yeah, there's so much about that. So let's go back to Tantra. We're jumping around, but it all fits, doesn't it?
It does all fit together.
Yeah. So stillness. I think this is a very important Tantra technique. It seems like it's the exact opposite of what people usually want to do when things are going hot and heavy. So the friction of the action, right? But there's enormous power in slowing down, and beyond that, in pausing.
Yeah, and even more than that, it's not that I think that it always has to be slow, but that the more you develop your capacity for the subtle experiences and the slower sensations, the more room you have for the more friction, more rough, more pounding. Mm-hmm. Basically, it gives you more room. And so I think it's something that I think a lot of people could benefit from. I don't think you always have to have sex that way, but it does improve your ability in the rest of your sex life.
And isn't it a component of it having to do with balancing masculine and feminine energy?
Absolutely. You know, one of the big practices in Tantra is that blend of masculine and feminine, not just between two partners, but within each individual, because we all carry energies and characteristics that the world generally describes as masculine or feminine. And so finding that balance within yourself means that you have far more opportunities to connect to your partner.
It's like whole new worlds open up, don't they? Whole new emotional, psychological worlds where we can connect.
Absolutely. It makes such a big difference.
Well, I, for one, just love it that my fiancé treats me like a goddess at times.
Yeah, that's fun, right? Awesome.
It is fun. He has this great saying that I've said on this program before. I love quoting Brian with this, worship your woman and the goddess will reward you.
That is a nice saying. I'm going to remember that one.
It's a good one. He's very creative.
Yeah. And, yes, he is.
And skilled, yes. And you know, that's another thing. When you have a wonderful, loving, skilled partner, deep appreciation is needed, just because so often I have seen in my counseling, just, you know, regular marital therapy, that they haven't really appreciated each other, that there's a lack of emotional nourishment from the other. You know, this is what I really love and appreciate about you, and not taking each other for granted, which is really the big thing about that.
Absolutely. You know, I see a lot of couples where they start building up resentment, and one of the things that can make a big difference is having those positive interactions, showing appreciation. You know, John Gottman says that you need between 5 and 7 positive interactions to balance out 1 negative interaction.
That's right. And that's based on 40 years of research, right? Looking at people in his love lab.
Exactly. So he's the man who knows.
He does.
So I'm a big believer in having those moments. It really makes a big difference in terms of avoiding resentment and, you know, negativity and those kinds of experiences, where we shift out of, as he puts it, you know, in good relationships, we're friends who sometimes annoy each other, and in bad relationships, we become enemies. So you want to avoid resentment and shifting into enemy mode.
Yes. You know, one of the homework assignments I give to some of my couples is to create an adoration list with at least 7 things on it that are non-material things that help the person feel cherished and loved by the other. And to write them out, and then to talk about them, and they bring them back, and we talk about them in the session, the adoration list.
Yeah, and a lot of people will say things like, oh, my partner knows how I feel about them.
No, but they don't necessarily.
They really don't. Yeah, no. Trust me on this. They really don't.
Right.
You know, I mean, by the same token, you know, getting positive feedback from your boss or your manager at work makes you feel so much better about your job. Mm-hmm. It's really the same thing.
Well, it is. And haven't you found that some people need more validation than others? But I think we all need it. We all can benefit from it. Yeah.
Yeah. We all need it sometimes.
Yes. So as we wind down our hour, I would love to know, Charlie, how did you get into this field?
Into sex education or?
Yeah, well, or all of it, yeah. Sex education, or body work, because that's something that, as a licensed marriage and family therapist and a board-certified sex therapist, I cannot do the body work, and nor would I.
Right.
But you do body work, and I think it can be very effective.
It can be. You know, I had been a sex educator for something like 20 years or so, mostly talk oriented, focused on workshops and writing. And then a few years ago, I realized that I wanted to learn more about the somatic aspects of sexuality. And so I signed up for the sexological bodywork training, which is taught through the Institute for advanced study of human sexuality, although they also have trainings located all over the world, Canada and Australia and a few of them in Europe. And I had originally thought to myself that I was going to do it in order to learn some of the somatic pieces and then that would be it. But I discovered that really if you're going to work in the field of somatic sex education, you really need to dive into it. And I discovered how much more could get done when you can give people the experience that they need to have, not just talking about it, but what is the actual experience that they need to have. And so doing erotic education as a way of helping people discover things about their bodies, things about their sexualities, it makes a huge difference. It's been profound, and I've been amazed at how much it has really changed people's lives.
Do you have mainly younger people who are interested in this, or sometimes do you work with older people?
Actually, most of my, I work with people of all genders and ages, but
But
the majority of my clients tend to be women between, you say, mid-30s to mid-60s. That's been the majority of them. And I end up, I've worked with clients who, they've gotten divorced and they don't know what their sexuality looks like anymore, or they've gone through menopause and they are trying to figure out what sex looks like for them now. A lot of people who are doing sexual healing, whether it's from past experiences, sexual assault or trauma, and need a safe place to do it in. And while partners can be really helpful with it, partners are also very close to the situation. You know, they always have their own desires, their own needs. When a client comes to me because it's that that professional container, it's not about me at all, and so they can really dive more deeply in. It sort of parallels the way that, sure, you can talk to your friend and get support from them about whatever's happening in your life, but when you seek a therapist, it's all about you. You don't have to worry about the therapist's needs.
Such a good point, yeah. Dr. Charlie. And I want our listeners to know that I believe this is still true from your website, that you offer a 30-minute consultation without cost.
I offer a free 30-minute get acquainted call. It gives us a chance to talk about your situation, figure out ways in which I can be helpful. If I'm not the best fit, I'll do what I can to find you someone better. And I work with people in person in Seattle, as well as when I travel. I also do quite a bit of coaching over Skype, and there's quite a bit that we can do that way, too. So wherever you are, get in touch with me at makesexeasy.com.
Makesexeasy.com. Good title for your website. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what is the most satisfying, or what are some of the most satisfying aspects of your work?
You know, I got an email from one of my clients who, she's actually someone who came to me after getting divorced and, trying to figure out what sex would look like for her now. And we did a bunch of work, both somatic as well as more talk-oriented. And then about 5 or 6 months later, after she decided that that she was done working with me, I got an email from her saying that she was in a new relationship. She was able to tell this new guy exactly what she wanted because we had practiced that. She was able to tell him what her desires, what her boundaries were. And that's really what feels the best for me, is really just knowing that because of the work that I do, folks are having better relationships and better sex lives. It's what makes me really excited about it in the morning.
Right. That I think that we, in terms of meaning for our lives, we really do want to make a difference. And when you get that sort of feedback, it's deeply satisfying as a practitioner, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
Yes. I, for one, do not plan to retire. God willing, I keep my marbles. But it's just such amazing work to see people getting happier. And I, you know, I don't usually promote my website, but a lot of the listeners know anyway. It's drdianawiley.com. And I have a nice little testimonial page. And you do, too. I think most websites have to have that because you want to have some record of people that have experienced some transformation.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Yes, yes. Well, I really appreciate your returning to this program and sharing your expertise. And I will be in touch with you because we'll do a part two a few months from now. Because there's so much more. What would you like to talk about?
Part two, at least, in this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we didn't delve into as much around prostate pleasure. I think that's always a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah, so the actual pulsating finger, or maybe the woman donning a strap-on.
Yeah, and you know, some of the common concerns or some of the challenges that people face. I would love to talk about that.
Yeah, and in our when we talked off the air yesterday, you said that either with hands or a strap-on, it's like a Pilates workshop, but the person has to take responsibility and have compassion.
Yeah, there's a lot there to talk about. So, yeah, we'll do that next time.
We'll do that next time. And I really do thank you so much for a fascinating hour. And if any of you have feedback, you can let Charlie know on his website or let me know. And there's our music. So thanks again, Charlie.
Looking forward. Thanks, Diana. Talk to you soon.
We'll do that. Bye, everybody. Happy feet.